Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, Agent's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is CJ Gibson, whose headphones are turned up.
What's up?
And Brian Malkowitz.
Word, C-Team.
Yeah, C-Team.
We didn't do that last
time.
We missed Steven. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I cut the heart in half for the audio listeners. Big news today about the raid, and that's mainly what we're going to be getting into. It's a busy day here at IGN. It's one of those days where we're going to focus on one topic and talk about it. So, Basically, sounds like power levels are going to be capped at 700 for the first encounter at the raid. If you're over 720 for the last encounter, advantages do not matter for the first 24 hours. That will be turned off later. So that's the basics of it.
It's great.
A lot of people have been planning. They said they didn't necessarily like that a lot of people were just busting out the spreadsheets. I'll get the specific phrasing here. That's not what they said. We don't like that.
Yeah. But naturally, people are going to do this.
So. People are doing that to prep, right?
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have this information 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I'm part of the people who've been grinding to prep for the raid.
Yeah. With Opulence, we wanted to try something different and make the raid available on day one in an effort to make the raid race something more fair and competitive. However, our best laid plans have turned into this multi-week, cross-seasonal, powerful reward storage competition. Accurate.
Yeah.
While we love seeing players find clever ways of leveraging game mechanics.
Right, exactly.
Take that, Bungie. We wanted to step back and look what's going to be the best player experience for those competing and those watching. Below is how we're changing the way World's First Raid window will happen. And basically, they're saying anything above 700 is not going to help you with the first encounter. And by the last encounter, anything above 720 will not provide additional advantage. They're leaning into team mechanics and puzzle solving. And I love this. Believe it or not, like, I know we've been grinding, Brian.
Yeah,
trying to figure out what we're going to do for this raid. We've been working together as a team. We've been running raids together to get prep for this race. And I don't mind this. I would have liked to know a little sooner because we did a lot of prep.
But we're still going to want
prep is still going to still pay off.
It's still going to pay off because by the time we get to that 720, we're going to want that. You know, so that way our incoming damage isn't as harsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is going to be a big key in that.
Then later on, the TWAB posted. CJ, you could say something about
it. No, it's all good.
And there will be a power surge quest that needs to be completed to access the raid.
Yeah.
So you have to complete the introduction quest to be able to access the content.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about all this?
This is all really good. I think it's one of those things where we've had this conversation about the raid so many times, but we're going to do it one more time because it's about to be upon us here again. I think the question is, are the best people beating the raid or the people with the most time are the people beating the raid? And I think that this is a nice balance of having both those. Still think probably Glad and his squad's going to win. But it's one of those things where,
no luck for us. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. But again, it puts a nice even playing field for the people who can spend, you know, all day grinding, but also people who can't, and then allows them to have that power, like, level sort of, you know, be neutral, at least for the first 24 hours, when I think those are the people who will want to actually get into the raid and grind and, like, you know, make it about World's First.
I want to win because I like underdog stories.
Yeah.
Hashtag Team Destin. Team Destin.
I love it.
There's a lot of people behind the scenes here.
Team Destin.
I'm on the raid team here, and we are not calling it Team Destin.
Exactly. Hashtag Team IGN.
There's another clan involved on our raid.
That was the best moment. Hashtag Team Destin and all my underlings. But you're right, and I think that
Team Destin,
the
thanks,
the underdog story the underdog story is much more possible in this because it is potentially about the skill of people playing in the raids, not just the amount of time and energy you can put into doing it before, which is good.
This is the main reason why I loved Last Wish so much, because we went in way underleveled and we overcame the obstacles even with an underleveled team. Brian is texting the rest of the raid team right now.
I was going to text you to tell you to turn the name bars off, but you haven't taken them off yet.
Oh, no. There they are.
No, it's totally fine.
But no, it's
this one. No, that one can stay.
To me, this is
there's the text now.
This feels like a nice hybrid of a lot of the things we've complained about ever since the Last Wish, you know, power per hour conversation. Rip Fran Mirabella, you know, and this does feel like something that I've personally always wanted because I am about that early race. Now, I might be in a situation different from you guys if, you know, I'm close to 700, but if I can find a last minute raid team and I have a chance to do it, I also like competing in world first, but I'm not going to be able to have the time to grind as hard as you guys have been doing, right? So
I just want to beat you and Fran.
I know that.
And I'm
world first doesn't matter as long as Fran comes behind Dustin. Exactly.
I'm happy Brian's on my team and not CJ or Fran. I'm happy that.
Hey, Brian, you got to work that day.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Sucker.
Yeah, technically, so it is work because we'll be streaming the IGN and all of its sub channels.
It's me,
so.
Brian, right. Backwards Global, Teddy's brother, Charge. That's my raid team.
Yeah. There you go.
So that is everybody. One other note from the TWAB, though. They said, right now our focus is on opulence, but after the season is launched and raid belts have been awarded, we'll be looking deeper into the future and sharing with you more about a new era for Bungie and Destiny 2.
That excited me way more than anything else in that TWAB.
Yeah.
Just that one line.
Yep.
A new era for Bungie and specifically Destiny 2, not the franchise Destiny.
Yep.
What's happening with 2?
Yeah, so it's like, I imagine that's a tease for, and it sounds like they're going to tease this very soon after Opulence launches. So I'm assuming,
I think next week.
I'm assuming E3. Mm-hmm. So, because obviously next week they've already said they're revealing what Opulence actually is, because we actually have no idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like all we've heard about is the raid. Like, what else is there to Opulence?
Yeah.
Cosmo is talking about that next week. He's going to talk about Pinnacle Weapons preview and several other things.
Also, Three Times Infinity, all next week.
Yeah.
All next week.
So, looks like I'll have Dredge in my next week, which will be great.
Finally get 21% Delirium.
Yeah.
So, user asked, Jared asked, why does anyone who is 700 power have to do the Power Surge bounty in order to unlock the new raid? It's the introduction to the new season.
It's not just a power. It's not just – because I think people are seeing it like that. It's not just a –
power drop.
It's not just a thing to get you up there. It's an introduction, just like the Drifters missions were before you could play Gambit Prime. You had to do something. Yeah. Now it's just like, here, this is your intro mission, but it also comes with 690 gear if you're under.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. We don't know how long that's going to take to do. I'm assuming it's probably not going to be too long. Like, it probably
That's going to cut into all the grinding that we're doing day one between launch of the season and the raids launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
hopefully it's not too long.
I was going to say, so I don't anticipate it taking longer than the 6 hours leading up to the raid.
I'm just hoping it's not as long as the Forge unlock.
Oh, yeah. They even said that, like, okay, because they mentioned something about, like, having to just do this once per character.
Well, you do it once per character, but who knows how long it is on that one character.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, we don't have to do it.
Yeah,
on our
many times. Yeah.
Cosmo also said I'll be writing the TWAB next week. Here are some topics you can expect. Pinnacle Weapon preview. Great. Some sandbox buffs. Just want to make sure I pronounce that correctly. More
you
season of Opulence info. Yeah, after our super salty nerf episode.
But those are the only nerfs.
A lot of people are still.
They said there were more nerfs coming, too.
Did they?
I think they said that in last week's TWAB, I think it said those aren't all of them. But those are just
critical.
The most impactful.
Yeah.
So I think there's still more nerfs coming, just not like as big as like what they revealed.
Last time. So here's the thing, though. I went through a lot of the podcast comments, and besides the excellent thumbnail for the Whisper nerf.
That was Amanda.
That was really well done.
Hashtag Team Destiny.
Exactly.
I'm off the raid team. I'm
whatever.
I'm out.
Anyway, so that was really good.
I'm kidding, Brian.
But then there was a bunch of people that did comment on the fact that, I think, most people
this
were,
needed to happen.
Well, yeah, most people were disappointed, but there was a bunch of people. No, there is. There's a bunch of people who said, hey, you know, it's been kind of stale and a bit boring. You're relying only on this one or two things. Switch it up. Bungie's doing the right thing. So you know, I think, again, smaller minority voice, but those comments were in the comments section.
I saw some very vocal, big-name community members also release videos about why they agree that it happened.
Yeah.
I still disagree.
Yeah.
I still disagree. I don't think it needed to happen. I think the mechanics of the encounters need to happen.
Yeah.
If you don't want us using long-range weapons, stop giving every enemy in the damn game the stomp mechanic.
Yeah.
Every enemy.
Yeah. We're always going to find a way around, or at least try to find the best way around that, and if they keep on adding stomps that fly you off of a map, make you hit a wall, and you die instantly. That's just, I'm so over that.
It's like Cabal Drill. The first thing that you learn in the Cabal Drill public event is, oh, maybe I shouldn't stand here because it gets nuked. So you get off of it. And the first time you do it as an encounter, it's very simple now, of course.
Yeah.
You're like, I do stand on it. I get it. I have to
timed and telegraphed stomps like that are fine.
Yeah.
But when every time you get close to a boss, he's going to do it. It's just like.
So here, let's ask some of the users at home and in the comments, and you guys as well. What is your favorite, let's kind of say boss, because I think there's like raid mechanics. Like, you know, I wouldn't say within the context of, I don't consider the encounter. What's the one in Leviathan where you're running around? Like, there's no boss in that
The gauntlet.
The gauntlet. So let's talk from a raid boss standpoint. What is one
in
of
Destiny
your favorite?
Two?
One or two. What is your favorite boss in a raid in Destiny 1 or 2?
I would need more time to think about that, I think, because I have to, like, mentally run through all the different encounters.
So
what was the spider boss from Wrath?
Axis.
Yeah, he doesn't stomp you if you get up there.
Yeah, and he's got a bunch of – I've heard you say that before. Yeah, because you have to have a bunch of different coordination mechanics, and he has a vulnerability move, and then everybody –
Once you get to the DPS phase, you can be as close as you want to him.
Yeah.
And he won't stomp you out because he's, like, because he's stunned. You stun him for the DPS phase. But
yeah.
Yeah. I think it was same with Oryx, though. Oryx didn't have a stomp phase if you got too close. You couldn't because
I mean, it was about, well, it was the same thing. It was a different mechanic where it was about getting the blights in the right spot and then activating them and then doing DPS once he kind of was stunned. So there was like a stunning phase. There was an explosion damage phase. And then
but they designed the boss to where you feel like you don't need to do like that, where you don't feel like you need to get close to him to do proper amount of damage, even though you are playing a long range.
Well,
game.
Because the DPS was not only specifically from your weapons.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like the dog encounter more in Leviathan if it didn't have the, what is it? There's a wipe mechanic to it, right?
The wipe mechanic.
Oh,
is
the AI.
Howl.
The AI is really bad. The dogs.
Oh, the
dogs.
They
like
were
really glitchy.
They're super good.
Oh, yeah.
If that was a little bit more polished, I think that would be one of my favorite encounters. Because
really?
It's like the puzzle encounter in Last Wish, except you're not throttled by each segment. You know,
the lock.
You have to do the puzzle. No, not the one before.
Oh, the lock to make the platforms come down.
No. You climb up and you have to solve a puzzle. You got to fill in the blanks to make the circle.
The Sirochi ones.
Yeah,
complete it, the little platforms come down so you can go up to the next level.
Yeah, so you do that and then you fight Sirochi, but she has these brick walls that you hit as you whittle down her health.
Right, she doesn't slam you or anything while you're doing all that.
Let me rephrase this. I don't love the dog encounter. I like that it's another way to have a boss health bar, but it's separated only by the number of dogs you have to kill. So there's like, six dogs, so you have six health segments. And it's just a new way to present a boss mechanic. And I actually like that they tried something different with that.
Prediction.
Encounter.
Yeah.
The new raid, the final boss is just going to be a giant war beast from the Leviathan.
The more
the dog, but enlarged. That's the only boss. The only enemy in Destiny we don't have is a giant
enlarged
version of
form.
It. So it's just gonna be a dog.
You know what? I really like Kallus too.
Yeah, I thought Kallus was cool. I mean, Kallus is your standard DPS boss, though, where it's like you were at a range,
stationary boss.
And then you shoot him. I really liked Argos. I thought that just all the different mechanics. Again, once people figured out a way to cheese that again, where you're walking around.
The Crystal Cyrus boss, the giant Vex.
Yeah, the first one. And you have to, like, you know, just the amount of different things that you had to do. You had to cook the things on the plates, and
you had the
crystals, and then you had to, you know, time the different, elements in order so they all kind of come in at the same time to release a shield. And then even having to stun him, the verticality of getting up around him to find his weak spots and all that stuff. I thought that playing that one had the most sort of variety of gameplay in a boss that I can specifically remember.
Yeah, he was a standard stationary boss, but
having
all the mechanics surround the boss rather than just like in this room, you're going around this boss, climbing up,
Yeah.
It's great.
I thought it was really good.
No, yeah, it was a great boss.
So Crota was also kind of unique in the sense that once you figure it out, it's pretty easy, but the sword did damage. So
I like
Crota,
yeah.
Yeah, it was not, you know, relative to doing a massive amount of, you know, DPS damage. And then your damage also was beneficial because of the Oversoul, it was one of those things where, oh, somebody died. Okay, here's another mechanic that was baked into the game world. If you did die, that where your DPS did become relevant, but it wasn't necessarily to kill the boss. So,
right.
I like those two.
Yeah, the whole nerfing thing, I think it just bothers me because, like, we figured out how to master the game mechanics that they presented to us. So instead of changing up the game, they're taking away tools.
Yeah.
And that's sort of weird. I understand the Ahamkara nerf. The Orpheus rig, I don't know, maybe. Maybe like a few fewer orbs.
The comments that I saw online, and I do kind of resonate with them, is that within the context of building supers, I don't mind it in a sense. I'll say this. You make these jokes often. It's like, and how did that make you feel, Brian? Oh, it was fun. Nerf that. You said that with the Nova Bomb when you said it.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
But
I
still think
I
it feels
recognize
cheap.
I still recognize how much no matter how much I enjoy it, and I really enjoy the fact that I can throw a Nova Bomb at four enemies and get my super back. It's fun, but it's broken to hell.
Right,
we all knew that.
We know that. Yeah. I knew going into once they made that change to that helmet.
Yeah.
And I started using it. I was like, there's no way this doesn't get nerfed in the future.
Yeah. You literally said it the week before the TWAB, and I'm like, yeah, this is probably getting nerfed.
Yeah, and so there it is. And I'm not disappointed because I saw it coming.
Yeah, well, but even still, with Orpheus, I'm amazed that it's taken this long. So Orpheus, Shards, all those other weapons that regen super, it does take away, you know, that orb gen teamwork ability that Destiny is known for, because you never had that in any of Destiny 1, and I never thought, oh, geez, I wish I had my super more often. Mm-hmm. You just have different things that you needed to do to combat, you know, the moments with your team. So that part of it did feel cheap. And when you relied on your super in every single part, I will say in Zero Chi, it was super fun. I thought the raid mechanic.
See what you did there.
What? Super fun. It was super fun. You know, I thought that the I'm losing my
sorry, that just ruined.
No, that's okay. What's the raid mechanic again where you put the flag down? Like, what are those?
Oh, the rally flag
at
the beginning.
Yeah, the rally flag. I think that is a nice enough incentive for you to go, okay, you failed this. You need a little bit of assistance. Put a raid, you know, a rally banner. I was going to say barricade. A rally banner down in order to have at least your super on your first interaction, and then you go from there. I mean, the last couple raids, it was like supers all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not Destiny. Well, like, it might be fun.
I didn't have supers the whole time during Last Wish.
Last Wish, you had your super almost everybody could have a super at any point
in time. As a
warlock,
I disagree.
Well, today
was a hunter.
Day one. No.
But yeah, you could chain them. There's a lot of like different things.
You could do that in all encounters though.
There was nothing in Destiny 1 that actually gave you instant super back to the point that orbs are almost useless. And then you could just chain off and have your super at any point.
Bottom
in time.
Line though.
You guys didn't chain supers in D1. Everybody did that.
No, you chained it, but not to this extent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You relied on your teammates to generate you the orbs, and then the orbs in Destiny 1 didn't disappear either. So
you don't remember Infinite Bubble Titan Nightmare? In PvP?
Yes, I
do. Yeah, people totally did this in D1. To say that it's a new thing for D2,
well,
I would argue isn't accurate.
Okay, my point is within the context of the raid mechanics and the bosses, what armor elements gave you the ability to regen a massive amount of your super to the point that you got it instantly after using it?
Those did not exist in D1.
So that is what I'm saying. Like that, you're not supposed to have your super every part of every raid at any moment because then you're not relying on your teammates. It breaks the game.
It breaks the game.
So if they give me half,
that part I understood.
Half back,
which it likely will.
It
it's because it's supposed to be diminishing returns, right? So just, you know, you're...
If it's half, then a third, and then
it's
on a cool.
Well, what I mean is that when they say diminishing returns I imagine that when you pop a well as a warlock and you're using your Phoenix Protocol, you shoot an enemy, you get a certain amount of your super back, and if for each enemy you shoot after that, you get less and less and less and less.
Yeah,
until the next super.
Yeah,
until you use that super and then do it again.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, all in all, though, I have no problem with these changes.
This is good.
I'm wondering if we're going to end up in a world though
in a world
in a world
without
where
light.
Oh, we're back with Destiny 1 mechanics where you're chasing arms and legs. because that's how it was in D1. Oh, everybody's 700 now.
Mm.
I need the raid gauntlets in order to be max light.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. I don't think they should totally revert. They have to figure out a better system somewhere in between where they are today and where they were in Destiny 1, where you're literally doing one activity to hit max light.
Yeah.
Well, we still have that six-player active matchmade activity. We have no idea what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
We still don't know what that is. And Destiny still has, you know, all of the... You know, it's been that way since the beginning of Destiny 2, is that all of our weeklies still level you up no matter what level you are.
Yeah.
Even if it's just plus one.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, I think that's where we've often said, yeah, I think it would make the raids more important. But then, yeah, the split in community, if you can't get five other people to raid or if you don't have the ability to do that, like I understand it. But yeah, this is where, again, trials, you know, other activities in the game would help, you know, but even trials didn't have matchmaking, right? So.
Yeah,
I hate saying the T word.
It hurts though.
It still does hurt.
I bet it comes back in the
But I don't think that they would have. I don't think that they would do this again. Where that's the reason why a collection game is what it is now, rather than a power leveling game doing the raids.
There's more to go over this week. We're on a tight schedule. Unfortunately, it's Memorial Day weekend, so the office closes a little bit early, and we have a big production that we're working on today as a team. So we're probably going to have to cut the episode a little bit short. We're going to go over the Eververse items and such next week. Is there anything that you guys want to say about the raid? Are you going to be racing? I'm excited. We're going to learn so much more next week, and I'm out because I'm getting married. So
you're right.
But you're going to be hosting with Brian.
Okay.
Maybe you'll find somebody else.
Fran.
Could join.
I have to find somebody.
I have been talking to somebody, trying to get them in. I need to figure out a system where we could have guests who are like streamers
knowledgeable
guests into this particular setup. That's my next project.
Well, and we have officially, I think, some updates on the progress in the back. It looks like we're going to be aiming for somewhere the first week of July for some of these newer studio upgrades.
We saw what our set will look like.
We saw the concept art.
Looks good.
Yeah, it's getting exciting.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, I just think that, this is good. This whole 24 hours to make the race a little bit more legitimate everything else that they're talking about, it's good. This is positive. This is, I think, like a nice happy medium and I'm sure they'll learn a lot more with this raid, seeing there's always something that seems to break the game leading up to new content releases. There's something every time. So if there is, I'm sure they'll kind of assess it and figure it out.
Next season, I think they're just going to be like, any drops from last season are capped. And I think that's going to be what they're going to do going forward.
But I think at this point they're not going to do that because of how much time people have put in. But
not for this time.
Yeah, but for whatever comes out after this, the following season.
You're talking like what they did in D1 after Taken King, where nothing potentially came up past a certain light level or power level, right?
Yeah, so
I think that becomes a problem again. Revert what everybody hated about D1.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, and I'm not saying I disagree with you. I think there are two challenges.
I'm not saying I want that. I'm saying I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't say I want necessarily this system, but
would you?
It would solve problems.
Would you want it?
I don't see the issue with saying that the bounties that you grab from last season.
Oh, you're not talking about what they did in Destiny 1 where year 1 guns didn't make it into year 3.
If you pick up and complete 21% delirium and it's sitting in your inventory from last season.
Okay. No, okay, I get that.
But then there's still ways around that. There's a lot of systems they have in place that are still you can game them.
But I think this is a better solution than just cutting off our rewards from last season and preventing us from gaining light.
Yeah.
It's another avenue of artificial difficulty that I think that just, why are you doing that?
I see what you're getting at now. Yeah, that's not the point I was trying to make.
Okay, but gotcha. Wasn't sure. Because, I mean, I think that if they did that, they could potentially choose which weapons they would want to do that and release different versions of them. I mean,
That's not what I meant. No, I hated that.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, Better Devils became... I'm thinking Destiny 1. There was a couple weapons that they were more or less the same. They just, like...
Yeah, they changed the name.
They changed the name. And
Swift
they
Ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you talking about in Destiny 1?
In Destiny 1.
Oh, yeah. Imago
in Destiny
Loop.
2.
Imago Loop, same thing.
That was Fatebringer.
That was Fatebringer
Destiny 2 did the same thing. All your weapons basically became trash. You could power them up, but it was at a high cost of infusion force. And then they re-released versions
it's
of
also,
them.
Yeah.
In the...
Yeah, yeah, better Devils or Devil You Don't or all this rest of stuff. Yeah.
What I'm saying is I think there's a way that they can draw a line and say... okay, you earned that last season, so it's going to cap at 700. But if you earn it in season two, or like if you have a progress that's at 29 or 30 bounties completed, just reset the progress. Be like, all right, you missed it. Like if I like the way that Gambit resets,
right?
For Season of Opulence, they could do that with your bounties that you're trying to game the system and reset. There's ways that they could do it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, if they're upfront about stuff like that, then yeah. Sure, because you don't want to drop something like that on somebody without knowing it, because then you just waste a bunch of like, people's time.
Yeah,
if they're not expecting like you did, like the insane amount of grind to get Breakneck and Gambit, where you have to get a bunch of auto rifle kills, multi kills, and all this stuff in Gambit Prime, and then one day you come back and it's like everything's at zero. You're like,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't have the solution now, but I'm sure Bungie, who works on this full time, is thinking about this very topic, and I would love to see their proposed solution after Season of Opulence. For now, I like that there's a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. That is your starting line.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
We have a goal, and it's 720.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loot pool. That's the last thing I'll say. I like the fact that they're talking just real quick. That was another thing in there, that they're adding some stuff from year one into Bright Engram loot pool.
Yep.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. So can you go to the Bright Engram section?
Well, I thought you guys had to get out of here, but
I mean, we do.
But this is respectful to you.
No, that's the last thing. We can
talk about that real quick. 109. We're 20 minutes in.
All right. Eververse updates. All right, we'll go over it really quick. With Season of Opulence, we're making some changes to the Eververse store. We had two main goals for the changes we're making to Eververse and Season of Opulence. Direct pick. Every new Eververse item in Season of Opulence will be available for direct purchase via silver or bright dust. Great. I have 20,000 bright dust that I haven't spent. Most of these offers will be time limited with new items available weekly, fairly similar to what they're doing now. Greatest hits, Season of Opulence Bright Engrams will contain a collection of community favorite legacy items with a focus on the best of year one.
Before you move on, that's the thing that I wanted to talk about. Does that line right there makes me feel like the next season's Bright Engrams won't have anything new in them.
Just the old ones.
And just year one legacy.
Season of Opulence's Bright Engrams will contain a collection of community favorite legacy items with a focus on best of the best. So like spicy ramen stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I like stuff me like that. Who has all this stuff because I played a lot in season one.
Yeah.
Does that mean Bright Engrams in the next season mean nothing to me?
Well, it's a knockoff. You don't get them again, right? Like once you get it, you don't have a chance to get it again. So, yeah. But I mean, I think that's good because for the people who didn't get those things in year one,
I level up and get a Bright Engram, I'm not going to get anything special out of that.
I see what you're saying.
Because I have everything from season one.
Right.
So it's like,
Like if it's a knockoff thing and you've already had it, it just will not give you that option. Yeah.
I have gotten every single emote, everything that I've ever wanted from the Eververse for $0. I haven't spent any silver or anything.
Yep, me
and
either.
I'm
guilty.
I just don't support it. And those packages are like, oh, look, you can get this whatever, but you have to pay silver. I'm just like, nope.
Yeah, I've usually
because I think that sort of mentality is largely what the community has adapted, and that is why we're getting better systems like directly purchasable things because they hear you when you do this.
Man, that's a $10 emote.
I don't think the Eververse is going to go away, but I think they will improve the Eververse if we keep not directly purchasing and we keep using our Bright Dust and we keep using the in-game ways to achieve these items.
I will say they will make it hard to not spend $10 on a hug emote where you can hug people. For anybody who's
I can hug people for $8?
Yeah.
No, I don't need that. You know?
Oh, man.
And
I'm part of the problem.
Yeah,
you are. Everybody, this is my fault.
I was going to close it out this week. Really excited about the raid.
Yep.
We'll talk more next week. It's just a busy week at IGN.
No, you won't.
CJ, Bryant. I won't.
You definitely will not be.
I will not talk
because,
next week.
By the time
I don't think it's hit me yet.
Getting married here right away. Yeah. So I got to take 1 week off, man.
Are you sure you don't want to come in just for the episode of Fire King Jack? Because that's the episode where Season of Occupants has been revealed.
Yeah, the
worst. Look, no.
Can I bring my mom and wife?
Listen. His 1 week anniversary of his wedding will be him playing Destiny 2 for 12 hours.
Oh, that's true.
Gosh.
That is my wedding present.
That is, so it's like coming in for an hour to record Fireteam Chat is less intrusive than him playing Destiny for 12 hours.
My wife would literally murder me.
As the guy who's married for 17 years versus a guy, how long have you been married for again, Brian?
I've been married for about zero.
All right, there you go. Take a week.
Yeah. No, I'm taking a week for sure. She is too. She works as much as I do, so we understand each other.
Crazy. But congrats, man.
Thanks, man. And that said, everybody, you're going to see these guys next week. I will be off in La La Land doing other things. But thank you so much for joining us. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Outro.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.